for Amber. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the radio station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Major Doug Rocky. Major Rocky, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm doing fine. Of course, Major Rocky, of course, is going around the country trying to wake people up to the very real danger that we see with depleted uranium. And, of course, what was really your job when you were in the military?
I had multiple things. My military career spanned over 30 years, so I've done a multitude of things. But during Gulf War One, and just prior to it and then afterwards, I had the responsibility for education and training dealing with nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, and cleaning up all the messes. And Gulf War One, I got assigned to clean up all the results of the depleted uranium-friendly fire mess as a consequence of our use of uranium munitions during Gulf War One. And then did a lot of reports for the government and ended up as the depleted uranium project director for the U.S. Army from 94 and 95. And I've worked with congressional staff, the Center for Disease Control, National Academy of Sciences, and the whole thing is, basically, from my first-hand experience and research, I found that I thought use of uranium munitions has left a horrible health and environmental effect. And the United States leaders in the U.S. Army and Department of Defense just state plain blankly, which I was given a message back in March of 1991, that they're not going to give it up because it's so effective and they don't care about the health and environmental effects.
Well, of course, it is an amazing weapon, and certainly these depleted uranium shells will go right through a tank and, of course, destroy everything in its way. But, of course, the problem is the depleted uranium. What is the downside of depleted uranium? How is it harmful, you know, after once the war is over?
Well, first off, there's nothing depleted about it. That's a misnomer that was put on, and the depleted actually refers to the fact that in the processing at Oak Ridge in Tennessee, Paducah in Kentucky, Portsmouth in Ohio, the U.S. Department of Energy removes a very small portion of the fissionable isotopes out of this mixture, but you still have over 99% of all the uranium-238 isotopes there, and still a substantial portion of the U-234 and 235 still left there. And as a consequence, when you fire uranium munitions, you leave a residue of spent solid radioactive heavy metal toxic bullets or rounds. And in addition to that, you have all fine dust and all kinds of other things that are left there. And as the U.S. Army states point blank in their own common task training, the task for responding to the use of this, it tells all soldiers in the U.S. military that the contamination will make food and water unusable for eternity.
And yet, of course, they continue to use it, and not only does it endanger our people, it endangers the Iraqi people and the Iraqi civilians, and we'll come home, at least we'll pull out of some of these areas eventually, but what's going to happen to the Iraqi, the women, and the children?
Well, it's already happening. I've had calls from physicians, and literally had another call today left on my answer machine, where the U.S. physicians, American physicians, have gone over to provide care, including military, are already totally documenting birth defects in the Iraqis. But what's even more horrible, it's totally documented in U.S. veterans that went over there that were definitely exposed to uranium munitions, were definitely contaminated internally, and their children have already been born with birth defects. Absolutely no question whatsoever. Totally confirmed.
And, of course, you've been trying to get this message out to the military, and they don't seem to be very concerned about it?
Well, that's an understatement, not concerned about it. After I got the assignment to clean up the mess and did the reports for them, and that became the depleted uranium project.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, today our guest is Major Doug Rocky. And Major Rocky was with the military for pretty close to 30 years. He's out of the military now because, of course, he's been very, very concerned about the fact that we're using depleted uranium, which, of course, is not depleted at all. He makes the point very, very clearly. It is solid uranium, and they put this into bullets, into bombs, into missiles, and they fire them, and when they burn, why, there's a dust that's created that creates radioactivity that'll last for 4 billion years, and of course, our troops are inhaling it. Certainly the civilians over there inhaling it. It has a disastrous effect, and yet the military insists on using it because the purpose of the military is to kill people and destroy things, and this is such a very, very effective weapon. Would that be a fair statement, Major?
Well, it's an extremely effective weapon. I mean, when I did the research firing the weapons and did the assessment on the damage that was inflicted not only on the U.S. troops, but more important, on the Iraqis, the effectiveness is no doubt about it. It's an extremely effective weapon against armor, cars and trucks, bunkers, buildings. And as we've totally confirmed in Iraq, in Baghdad and all around, they shot up apartment buildings. They shot up water treatment and sanitation facilities. They shot up hospitals. I mean, it's an extremely effective weapon against any target whatsoever.
But, of course, the trouble is when the shooting stops, why the radioactive material still stays there. It's inhaled by our soldiers and by the Iraqi women and children and men. And, of course, what does it do to the human body as you begin having this particulate matter inhaled into the lungs and getting into your body?
Well, you have the different routes of entry. You can inhale the particulates into the lungs. You can absorb it through the skin and other open wounds. You can get fragments in that into the body, and then you can ingest it through eating. And to quote directly from Colonel Wakayama in a briefing to the Pentagon 2 years ago, the particle inside of the body is hazardous, producing cell damage and cancer. Direct quote. I want to repeat, this is a direct quote. Cell damage and cancer. Okay, and lung cancer is well documented.
All right, hold that thought right there when we bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this afternoon is Major Doug Rocky. We're talking about depleted uranium, and of course I think it's so vitally important you understand that we're not only poisoning the Iraqi civilians, we're poisoning our own men. And of course, Dr. Rocky, you actually have a PhD, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, Major Rocky, Dr. Rocky, is talking about what the Army acknowledges that this will do when inhaled. So you were talking about it produces cancer?
Absolutely. Confirms the briefing from Dr. Colonel Edgar Wakayama to the Pentagon, heads of the Pentagon, stated very specifically. It also stated very specifically it's hazardous to skin and lens of the eyes, which is exactly what we're seeing. We know that it causes all kinds of respiratory problems because what we have is... go on here, it's a heavy metal like lead. The target organ is the kidney and the bone. It's chemically toxic. So we have not only the radiological exposure, but the chemical toxicity. We go on, Colonel Wakayama states very clearly, urine samples containing uranium are mutagenic. We've had stuff being passed on, semen contaminated with uranium passed on, to their spouses. There's no two ways about that. We've had the birth defects confirmed in the Iraqis. We have the birth defects confirmed in Gulf War I. We have birth defects confirmed in Gulf War II. Individuals who are absolutely confirmed, medically confirmed, as exposed and hot for uranium exposures.
Well, now, don't we have an awful lot of our boys coming back? Now, we know, of course, we probably have 1,300 killed, at least in Iraq, in combat, and then maybe 1,000 or so wounded. But we have an awful lot of others, maybe 10,000-20,000 more that have other diseases, and they don't want to talk about those. Those fellows are going to the Veterans Hospital to try to get care, and what are they doing for them, and what sort of illnesses are these young men having?
Well, Kay, the easiest thing to discuss that is I'll go to the actual U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs reports. Okay? What we have confirmed from Gulf War One alone, all righty, and the understand, this is Gulf War One, the combat phase, from August of 1990 through October and November of 1994. There is an estimate, according to U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, this is official reports from May of 2004 last year, and it's way higher now. This is the one that I have the total documents for. Estimated number of living veterans from Gulf War One, that's the combat phase, is 592,561. Out of that, as of May of 2004, 230,988 had submitted permanent disability claims to the VA. And the VA had awarded permanent disability to over 179,000 of America's sons and daughters who participated directly in Gulf War One combat actions between August of 1990 in October, November of 1991.
Now, these are the figures as of 1994?
This is as the figures as of May of 2000.
Oh, figures of 2000, okay.
Correct. And that's that number now, the most recent numbers that I have, that's approaching 190,000.
That they've actually given the permanent disability to.
That's correct.
Now, is that a total permanent disability or a partial?
It's anywhere, it's anywhere between partial to full.
All right.
And I don't have all that breakdown of that data and what I'm looking at right now. We do know that if everybody was deployed into the Persian Gulf region between August of 1990 and May of 2004, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs had awarded permanent disability to over 257, close to 258,000 of our sons and daughters. So we know today what we're seeing today between, you know, up to the current numbers, it's way higher. Because the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, and I'll look at the data from August of last year for the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, they were totally, in August of last year, they were already acknowledging within 1 year they had over at 27,571 on permanent disability. It includes 153 cases of absolute confirmed cancer, 473 cases where they're benign tumors, and then we go into thousands and thousands of cases of neurological, respiratory, circulatory, digestive, GI, skin, muscular skeletal, and it just goes, I mean, we're looking at thousands upon thousands.
Now, Major, are these from the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War?
No, this is from Gulf War II.
This is
Operation Iraqi Freedom alone.
All right, fine. Of course, usually these young people will have those skin rashes. They will have certainly breathing and asthma problems and pneumonias. They'll have a chronic fatigue. They'll have cognitive disorders. They'll have diarrhea. They will have excruciating headaches. They will have pains in their joints. They'll have chronic fatigue. They'll have ALS and neurological symptoms. Those are the symptoms of the Gulf War syndrome.
Those are, and again, what they're related to is the fact that today warfare is a toxic mess. The weapon systems that we use, including uranium munitions, okay, plus the destruction of the infrastructure of the nations where we've blown everything up, leave a totally toxic wasteland. And we absolutely know that the U.S. soldiers, sons and daughters were and still are sent in there with totally inadequate protection. We know, according to the reports from the United States General Accounting Office, congressional reports, and it's all over the newspapers, that the VA is totally unable to provide adequate and prompt medical care. We know the Department of Defense and their military authorities are not providing prompt and adequate medical care. We know, confirmed in congressional investigations, confirmed by the United States General Accounting Office, that the officials responsible for this did not provide our sons and daughters their pre-deployment physicals that are required by law. We know that they're not providing them the post-deployment physicals when they come back sick and ill. And a day never goes by where I get a call from a family member or a parent, and including that's parents or spouses or aunts or uncles or children asking for help. I had one case here right at Christmas where the father called and the son came back from Iraq 2 weeks before Christmas, and he died the day after Christmas.
Now, what did he die of? It wasn't his war wounds, was it?
Well, no, it was no wounds. It was all of the exposures. And what they, you know, we know he was absolutely exposed to uranium. That's absolutely confirmed. Okay. And the respiratory problems and everything, the system just shut down. and he died abandoned by the country.
Well, now, we know that there have been certainly over 100 cases of some sort of a strange pneumonia that's called an eosinophilic or autoimmune or allergic pneumonia, and the government doesn't want to talk about all these cases of pneumonia. We know some of them have died.
It's thousands of cases. I mean, what we're looking at, I'm looking, you know, absolutely confirmed already where they got, as of August of last year, the VA had already provided permanent disability to over 3,505 cases.
These are the young men who came back from the Second War,
from Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Right.
So within 1 year, you got 3,500 on permanent disability for respiratory problems.
Right.
And so we're thousands upon thousands. And, you know, all of us, myself and my team, started developing the serious respiratory problems within 24 to 48 hours of the initial cleanup actions we did during Gulf War I.
Well, you had about 100 men on DM.
Well, yeah. Well, there was about 100 men that were really active, but when you look at the total number of men that were totally involved in the cleanup operations, those that were involved in friendly fire, it was about 430 people. And we know, and totally confirmed by the Department of Defense and the VA, that out of that 434, I mean, to this day, you know, less than 100 have ever received medical care. And my own medical care from there has been just lousy to begin with. And the doctor that was responsible for the medical care with the VA and the Department of Depleted Uranium Program allowed me to be provided some medical care in March of 1999, 8 years after the fact. Never returned phone calls or anything at all since then. And then recently my congressman sent a letter and said, what the heck's going on? And then she sent a letter to my congressman and said, back to me, and said basically, well, you know, that was just a courtesy that we gave you care 8 years after the fact. Well, let me tell you, I signed the initial order, provided mandated medical care, and the Surgeon General for the United States Army, responsible for Gulf War I, the Chief Surgeon, signed an order in June of 1991 mandating medical care.
Well, now, of that 400 men or so that you had, how many of them got ill? Did most of them get ill?
Pretty much everybody was sick right away. And, you know, but what happened to all of us is separate from what's happening all over the place. We have total confirmation where uranium additions were used in Vieques, Puerto Rico, of people that were exposed and sick and hot, all the problems.
Now, this was where they had the gunnery raids down there, is that
correct?
Right?
Shooting the place up. Total confirmation up in Albany, New York, where they were manufacturing it at the National Lead site, where the cancers and the deaths and the health problems and the respiratory problems and the rash problems and the kidney problems from exposure as a consequence of release during manufacture. Total confirmation at Concord, Massachusetts, of cancers and everything, where the releases during manufacture. Total confirmation of all kinds of problems throughout the Balkans. Total confirmation in Afghanistan. It's real simple. You can't get a heavy metal radioactive material like uranium munitions broken up in dust in the body. It's not supposed to be in the body. Now, what's astonishing, and this is absolutely, there's no two ways about it, okay, we know what the health effects and the medical effects are doing there. But when we go to the current orders signed by the U.S. Army, and these are, I'm going to repeat, this is a direct order, okay, signed by the Surgeon General for the U.S. Army. And when this was issued in last April, that was General, let me go to the actual thing here so I can read this without, you know, making any issues. The order was dated 29 April of 2004. It's a memorandum for everybody and their brother. It's from Headquarters, U.S. Army Medical Command. It mandates medical care for all individuals who were exposed to depleted uranium. Mandates. It says, thou shalt. DU bioassays will be administered to all personnel with embedded metal fragments that might include DU or who were in, on, or near an armored vehicle at the time or shortly after it was struck with DU. Quote. That's a direct quote. DU biopsies will be administered to all personnel who routinely entered damaged vehicles or etc. And then anybody that else asks for it will be given. That's signed by the Lieutenant General, that the Surgeon General for the U.S. Army. His name is James B. Peek, Lieutenant General Commanding. It's a cut-and-dried order that's totally disregarded to this day, not only for the sons and daughters of America, but the Iraqis, but more important, the care is ordered for U.S. soldiers and totally disregarded, but they're absolutely denying it to the children of Iraq. And that, my fine friend, is a war crime beyond comprehension.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Major Doug Rocky.
Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Doug Rocky. He's retired as a major from the military, almost 30 years in the military. And, of course, his job after the first Gulf War was to actually decontaminate our Bradley fighting vehicles and our tanks that, of course, have been contaminated by being shot with or being pierced with these armor-piercing bullets made of depleted uranium. The problem was that there was a dust in there, and that dust was inhaled, and the equipment that they had didn't keep it out. And so many of the men who were with Major Rocky, of course, have become ill. So many of our soldiers are becoming ill today. And the government has, well, if they have an explanation, they're not telling us the truth. And certainly, do you feel that there is a conscious, organized effort to conceal the truth about what's going on today?
Oh, absolutely. That's totally documented in official documents. There's no two ways about that.
Well,
you can go read the December last year, this December of 2003's Vanity Fair article written by David Rose on it. And in there, very specifically, Department of Defense officials just deny everything, even though it's verified that they have a problem. We have to come back to the simple thing. General James B. Peake, Lieutenant General, the Commanding General of the U.S. Army Medical Department, who has responsibility for medical care for all U.S. military personnel, ordered, I'm going to repeat, signed a direct order in April of 2004, and this is, again, repeated order that's issued so many times it's ridiculous, mandated that medical care would be provided to all individuals exposed to uranium contamination. They have disregarded that order for our nation's sons and daughters. They have disregarded that order for all the coalition nation's sons and daughters. They have disregarded that order for Afghan, Iraqi, Balkans, and American citizens all over our thing. And they have totally disregarded that order for all of the children that are exposed around the world because of the consequence of either research, testing, or use.
Well, now, of course, to...
It's that simple. It's that simple. They place themselves above the law.
Well, of course,
disregarding orders, and they get away with it.
To verify this, you actually have to do urine specimens, don't you, and actually show the excretion of the radioactive material in the urine?
Yes. Well, what should be done, and when we put this all together originally, you should do a radiobioassay that consists of collecting urine for 24 hours, collecting feces for 24 hours, doing nasal and pharyngeal swab, immediately, and all this done within a day or two of the exposure. And then you provide the medical care and everything, based on that exposure.
Well, now, what do you do? Do you try to get them to excrete the heavy metals?
Well, you really can't do a whole lot once you're zapped. But if you could, get it fast enough, there are medical techniques, and I'm not a physician. You have to speak to the physicians that are expert in this. But, there are different ways of chelation therapy, for lead poisoning. But you're still going to only remove that soluble fraction. The insoluble fraction that stays in the body is going to continue to cause harm to the lungs and everything else. As a consequence, that's why you have the calcified granulomas and all the lung damage that I myself and my staff and everybody else is experiencing. It's just that simple.
Oh, no, of course, doesn't this go to the bone? It's a metal.
Oh, absolutely.
It gets into the bone because it's an active element and it'll replace the calcium.
And then our teeth break off. Your teeth break off and fall on. That's happening to too many of us. And whether they're civilians that were exposed, not from, the war for direct use in combat or otherwise, there's no two ways about it. So we have all of those problems. So we have the confirmed medical problems that are stated very clearly in Department of Defense briefings and all the documents I found going back for years plus personal experience. But also what we have is signed orders signed by General Eric Shinseki, who was the general of the U.S. Army, the top dog. Stating very specifically, mandating thorough environmental remediation of all DU contamination.
But of course, this would be with what we've done over in a place like Fallujah. How would you go in? You'd have to just simply take out all the wreckage. You'd have to take out all the topsoil. You'd have to bury it somewhere out in the desert where it would sit there until it decomposes 4,000 years from now.
It doesn't decompose and it doesn't go away. Let's go back. Let's go to the direct order signed by General Eric Shinseki. That's a four-star general. Okay? Let's go to the very specific order and what it states. Because you have to understand, I wrote the original stuff that's now out there. Okay. The commander's radiation safety officer will identify, segregate, isolate, secure, and label all radiologically contaminated equipment. Procedures to minimize the spread of radioactivity will be implemented as soon as possible. That states very clearly. Can't cannibalize all the equipment, which they're doing, as everybody's totally aware, cannibalization is happening all over. Okay. The other thing it says very clearly, okay, all equipment to include captured or combat radiological contaminated equipment will be surveyed, packaged, retrograded, decontaminated, and released in accordance with the specifications and the U.S. Army Technical Bulletin 9-1300-278.
Hold that thought right there, Major. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we do have the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life water products, and of course, these are means of filtering your drinking water. If you're concerned about the bad taste, you're concerned about herbicides or pesticides or cryptosporidium or bacteria or other contaminations, why, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life will certainly get them out. But of course, one of Mike's major concerns is the fact that they are putting a hydrofluorosilicic acid into water all across the state. And, of course, really all across the country. And this contains fluoride and lead and arsenic and polonium and cadmium. And why are they doing that? Well, there's an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. And these are terrible toxins, and they're being put in, and the average individual has no way of knowing what's going on. And you can get those out with a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light. Why don't you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can see them. But you can also, of course, call us at 1-800-544-8927 and get more information on the Berkeys. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I'm not sure a lot of people out there say, gee, I don't want to hear another bad story. I mean, you talk about how bad fluoride is, and you talk about how bad mercury is, and you talk about how bad aspartame and NutraSweet are and MSG, and then you tell us about genetically engineered food, and now you're telling us about the depleted uranium. And ladies and gentlemen, all of these things are problems. And the reason I'm telling you is if we don't take America back, why, none of our children, none of our offspring are really going to have a chance. And so this is why I bring programs like this. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We put together an excellent four-tape set on depleted uranium. It'll be available in the next week to 10 days. And actually, it'll include some of my interviews with Major Rocky and other experts in this field. But right now, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I had a question for the Major.
Go ahead.
Back in Gulf War One. And the Scud missiles, they showed us in the evening news night after night, the Iraqis would send up a Scud, and it would come close to the front lines, and then our guys would send up a Patriot missile and blow the Scud up, and then everybody cheers and everybody feels good about what they did. But it really seems to me like what those Scuds had was a lot of biological weapons or agents, and all we were doing was exploding the things in the air over our troops almost, and then the wind is blowing it right down on top of us, and this is probably all by design. What do you think?
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Major?
Well, I mean, he's absolutely completely correct. I had 32 Scuds blow up over my head. I want to repeat, 32 Scuds. Okay, and the Patriot missile was a proximity weapon. All it did was knock the warhead basically apart and spread it all over. So we absolutely confirmed, I want to repeat, we absolutely confirmed in the theater at that time with the detection devices exposures.
All right.
We absolutely confirmed health effects as a consequence thereof, and that's been known ever since.
But, of course, they're lying to the American people.
Well, they have to, because, you know, when we look at the fact that the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has permanently awarded permanent disability to over three, you know, it's close to 300,000 of America's sons and daughters for duty in the Persian Gulf between August of 1990 and the present. That's ridiculous, because that 300,000 is not the 294 that were wounded in combat during, you know, Gulf War One. It's not the 6,000 they claim, you know, in Gulf War II Operation Iraqi Freedom. It's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of others. They were exposed to the toxins of war, the weapons that we have, the destruction of everything that was used. And we have to, let me make it loud and clear. He's absolutely right. Iraq did have chemical and biological weapons prior to Gulf War I. The United States gave them to them. That's totally confirmed in the Riegel report done for the United States Senate and the subject of a movie we did called Thanks for Grateful Nation. Totally confirmed. Today, on my way back home, President George Bush was saying, well, we didn't find the chemical biological now because, you know, well, we knew it was all there, but we still didn't find it. Well, the reason we didn't find it in December of 1990, as General Norman Schwarzkopf states very specifically in his book, It Doesn't Take a Hero, on page 390, we made a conscious decision to blow up everything we gave them. And we did. I'm going to repeat, we did.
And it was orchestrated probably more from our side than theirs.
Pardon me?
I believe it was orchestrated more from our side than theirs.
Well, it was.
Our guys were told not to wear
General Schwarzkopf's book.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much for calling, Mike.
Right.
And let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. And we've got a full board, but we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. A very quick question for Major Roki, and I'll take my answer on the air. Sir, how many members of Congress are aware of the problems associated with depleted uranium? And you're a man of honor and courage, sir, and I thank you for what you do.
Thanks so much, Bart. Okay. Is Congress, is the Senate, are government officials really aware of what's going on? Is this simply being covered up by the military?
They're totally aware, because personally I briefed them. On Veterans Day of the year 2000, 3 days after the election where George Bush was elected President of the United States, his staff had me speak in the United States Senate as the keynote speaker for the Veterans Coalition Day breakfast in the U.S. Senate. So they know. We have briefed the United States House, the Senate. We briefed the Department of Defense. I sit on the Center for Disease Control. We have briefed them. They all know. They just don't care. We've got a handful of congressmen and senators that are absolutely trying to do something, but they're stymied. They're stopped colder than a mackerel.
I'll never forget when I went to the CDC and talked to Jim Curran, who was the number one man dealing with the AIDS epidemic, and he looked at me and he said, sure, Stan, I know what needs to be done, but I can't do it. I'm trapped here in the middle. I'm between Congressman Dannemeyer on one side and Congressman Waxman on the other side. What should I do? And he's asking me, an orthopedic surgeon, what should be done? Well, Jim Curran, I think, was a man of honor. He did the honorable thing. He quit. Because there was nothing he could do, unfortunately, because of the political pressure.
Well, I haven't quit. I've been sending the message out, and after tonight, I've still got to call a father on trying to set up medical care for a daughter.
I know.
Well, I still have to do that tonight yet.
You told me within the last week you were with a boy that was dying, died of excess.
He died the day after Christmas, and
right.
Yes, and then we've had already worked with the family and trying to get set up. My own staff. After 14 years, my own staff just got, one of my own sergeants, my best friend, just got word from the Department of Veteran Affairs they're finally going to give him the CNP exam to provide him medical care 14 years after the fact. But what we have verified, and we know that it's happened, the sons and records of sons and daughters of America that served in the Gulf, that are supposed to be maintained at the National Records Center of St. Louis, Missouri, disappeared.
The records just sort of disappeared. Well, I think they ought to take the shredding machines out of every government office.
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of like, you know, that's exactly what happened. One day there was a fire, or one day where they were shredded, or as an individual that I totally trust and know what the Pentagon said, they were just hidden. They were put into a black box separate from the other your records, so there would be no verification that you did the work, no verification you were injured or ill, and there, as a consequence, no liability for what's happened
we have to repeat, over absolutely confirmed by the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, over 300 America's sons and daughters on permanent disability.
Since the most recent war?
Since, you know, since the beginning of August of 1990 up to the present. To present day.
I mean,
that's totally, we're not, this is not hypothetical. This is confirmed in official U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs reports. They're not telling the people the cost of this nightmare that's based on lies.
Now, actually, it was 300,000, wasn't it?
Correct, 300,000.
300,000.
That's, you know, doesn't include, I mean, what's happened today. I'm not even sure because, you know, it's another day and another dollar and we've had so many storms around here, getting on the computer has been virtually impossible.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Ken, who's calling from Watsonville. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest today is Major Rocky. Before we go ahead, would you like to get some of the websites out? Because there are some excellent websites up there where people can read your material.
Well, probably, I don't have any website that I
actually know you don't, but there are good websites.
Oh, yeah. Probably the best website for everybody to go to is put together by the Quakers. Okay, and that's the Trap Rock Peace Center out of Deerfield, Massachusetts. And that website is www.traprockpeace.com. That's TRAPROCKPEACE.ORG.
That's
traprockpeace.org. And then just follow the, you know, read the stories there, read their official reports. These are not just newspaper stories. These are official reports up that are posted up there and commentaries from the experts that were responsible. And then follow all the links from that website, and you'll have an awareness from this educational group, the Quakers. You have to, you know, for peace and justice and education, the Quakers go back, what, hundreds and hundreds of years?
Well, they were here. William Penn, of course, set up the Quaker colony there, you know, in Pennsylvania in the 1600s.
Yeah, so a long time, and their dedication to, you know, peace and justice and medical care and education is, you know, legendary.
And, of course, what William Penn said, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants, and, of course, we've outlawed God pretty well from our society. But let's go to Ken from Watsonville. Hi, Ken, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Have a question?
Thank you. I wanted to make a statement here. Major Rocky, have you seen any medical diagnostic codes for what you are stating you and those around you have for radioactive illness or any chemical illness or such? There is none in the United States for the chemically ill out of industry, and I also dealt with Gulf War I veterans.
And, of course, you have a chemical illness, don't you, Ken?
Very severe, and there is no... There's no workman's comp or anything because there is no American medical diagnostic code for chemical illness. But I understand from a chemical ill organization that there is an international code, and only Germany has signed on, and nobody else. And I'm wondering if this is the problem for everything, for anything connected to warfare products. In other words, as national security, can you please tell me if there is a diagnostic code for radioactive illness or such, because I run into other people.
Okay, fine.
Well,
thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you. We have in our own medical records, we have that. In the VA, and I'm looking at it right now, it's under ICD-9 categories, is where they have been placing it recently. But again, you're absolutely correct. We have a solid disregard for these problems. And again, we can go back. It's, you know, it's been totally documented not only on this program but on lots of programs and research all over, you know, that's actually happening. So again, it's a total disregard. And where this, I think he's brought up the real serious point. What we have today in society and technology is an overexposure to industrial, organic, chemical, you know, all this stuff, chemical compounds, biological agents, radiological materials, where we're inundating, you know, exposing the body to the levels just beyond comprehension. Okay, and it's wrong, and the body is not adjusted or adapted to this. So nobody wants to really look at this and say, wait a minute, we screwed it up ourselves. We have to relook at what we're doing, how we're living our lives, what we're using in industry, what the exposures are.
Of course, what we did is outlaw very, very safe pesticides, so we'd use very, very dangerous pesticides that were carcinogenic. And these people who did this were not stupid. They knew exactly what they were doing. They just want the American people to know. And I'm sure they know exactly the complications that we can expect with the depleted uranium, and we've seen it in the first Gulf War. We saw it in Bosnia. We saw it in Kosovo. We saw it in Afghanistan. We're seeing it in the second Iraqi War. And the American people are not hearing about this. It's being totally blacked out because of the degree of control that today exists over the media and ultimately then over what the American people think. Have you had any opportunity to get on any of the major networks and get this story out?
Well, you know, I've been on with Dan Rather. They finally got Dan. They were mad at him for a long time. He just told the truth and they didn't like it. So I've been on Dan Rather on the evening news. We've done 60 Minutes before. We've been on Dateline, Nightline. We've been on the BBC. We've been on the History Channel. But what you have is a conscious, concerted effort by the Department of Defense to block the information. And once the information out, they just disregard it. Because, as I learned working with President Bill Clinton's staff and then George Bush's staff, they place themselves above the law.
Right.
It's that simple. And they just totally disregard what's happening. We have to understand, the Surgeon General of the U.S. Army has issued a direct order, thou shalt provide medical care. It's disregarded. The general of the whole U.S. Army, General Shinseki, and now they're both retired, signed and issued an order that mandated thorough environmental cleanup of all the contamination. It's totally disregarded. The United Nations, years ago, has ruled, and this is the fine work, extremely fine work of Karen Parker, that the uranium munitions are an illegal weapon of mass destruction, and they totally disregard it.
Isn't this really almost like a form of nuclear warfare?
Well, you're living radiological contamination all over the place, and you're not cleaning it up. I mean, the specifications that are in the Army guidelines and orders and regulations very specifically state these are the limits that you can have there, and they totally disregard it.
And didn't you write a lot of those?
Yes, I did. And boy, they don't like the fact that when they didn't comply, that I said, the heck with you guys, and I'm telling the truth and speaking out. I became persona non grata.
And, of course, you had to resign then, resign from the military.
No. I've never resigned. I'm retired.
You're retired, okay.
I'm retired, yeah, okay. With a disability. No, I still carry, yeah. No, they still got my butt if they want me. You know, I'm finishing the job. You have to understand. I was given an order, a signed order, to clean up the uranium contamination, to ensure medical care is provided, put together training and education to make sure it's safely used in the future, and to clean up the mess. And I'm finishing my job. I started out as an airman many, many years ago, went through the enlisted ranks and the officer ranks, and I probably would have been promoted to colonel if I hadn't spoken out to tell the truth and when they didn't want it.
Well, of course, in the military, unfortunately, they don't want people who tell the truth, who do the right thing. They want people who just follow orders blindly, no matter how many people die because of it.
Yeah, well, I can go back to my commanding general during my Vietnam days between combat missions, and this is a story I've told before. We were between combat missions, and he put us asleep in his office. We were sound asleep. Another colonel came in, fell over us, got yelling and screaming, why were we sleeping there, especially in the general's office? And he didn't know the general was there. The general got up and pushed me down, because I was sleeping literally behind his desk on the floor behind him. He pushed me down from my shoulder. And as he threw the colonel out, he looked at all of us and said, just remember, I'm always going to take care of you, and I want you to always take care of our sons and daughters that go to war. Well, that general and I stayed friends for 30 years. I mean, in contact, weekly contact for 30 years. Okay? And one of the last things he asked me before he died was, he said, well, Sergeant Rock, because that's what I was known by, even after I got promoted all the way up to Major, Sergeant Rock. He said, Sergeant Rock, are you still taking care of the troops? Well, I can tell that Major General, who I learned met over there during the Vietnam days, and we remained friends for 30 years on a weekly basis, seeing each other on a weekly basis, said, yes, sir, I'm always going to do that because that's my duty and my responsibility, and that's what you told me to do 30-odd years ago. Jesus, that's back in 1970. What is that, 35 years ago? Whoa!
Well, of course, the problem is we have some good officers, but we've got an awful lot of men who've simply compromised their principles so they could stay with the military and get the promotions. And what we need, of course, is officers who are dedicated to taking care of their troops, because that's the only way you'll have loyalty from your troops. We're just about out of time. What's the parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
I think the important thing is today warfare leaves a toxic residue that we need, don't have the ability to provide medical care to anybody for. We don't have the ability to clean up the contamination, and we have to stop it. But what's more important today, we have to ensure our nation's sons and daughters have the adequate training, education, and all the equipment they need, but they must be provided the ordered medical care when they are injured or wounded in combat or at any time in their military career. And right now, the President of the United States is not ensuring that's happening, and Deputy Secretary of Defense Bill Winkenwerder, Michael Kilpatrick, and their staff are doing everything they can to prevent it. I've asked them to do it, and they just flat don't do it.
Well, I think they know exactly what's going on. The last thing they want is the American people to learn the truth about so many things. God bless you. Doug, we'll be talking to you later.
Great. Thanks a lot,
Thanks
Dan.
So much. Bye-bye.
Bye, sir.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and for those of you who are out there in the listening audience who are skeptical about some of the things we say, one of the best books you can read is Professor Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Professor Quigley was a liberal college professor who taught at both Princeton and Harvard before he went to Georgetown University, where he met a young man whose name was William Jefferson Clinton, and of course took William Jefferson Clinton under his wing and eventually told him how the world was really run, that there really was a group of people that tied into an ancient secret society, and they were running what was going on, and it all had to do with the Rhodes Scholarships, and that's why Bill Clinton went off to become a Rhodes Scholar. In fact, it said that Professor Quigley even signed his application. Now, Professor Quigley was a liberal. He looked down upon people as you and I, like you and I, as the petty bourgeois who voted for Barry Goldwater. And he believed, as Plato had, that we needed a ruling elite, an aristocracy to rule the world, but he was fascinated by how this all worked, and he had gone to England, and he had uncovered the background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created. In 1891, he actually came to be befriended by Professor Zimmern, who had belonged to the secret society from 1910 to 1921, and this whole story is told in two books, The Anglo-American Establishment and Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which Professor Quigley wrote in 1966, where it was published then, and then somebody bought up his publisher and suppressed his book for many years. We actually have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells the story. That's called The Secret Government Four Tape Set, or you can get it with Tragedy and Hope, with a Tragedy and Hope special, along with another book that they've suppressed. Why? Because they don't want the American people to know the truth. They're using our forces, our finances, to bring about a one-world government under a ruling aristocracy. Well, Dr. Stan, if our listeners out there across America would like to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where, of course, she tells about the secret society that dominates, or one of the secret societies that dominates the world today, because there are many secret societies, but they all have a common denominator. a new world order, a new world religion. We're not fighting over in Iraq because we want the oil, although certainly that is a side benefit. We're not fighting to bring democracy. We're fighting to change the world, to change the governments all throughout the Middle East and throughout Africa and throughout the Muslim world so that they will all go along with this plan. The New World Order, the New World Religion. Now, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time by Professor Quigley. Bill Clinton's mentor is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to hear the interview with Professor Quigley, and it's not an interview that I did, it's an interview I purchased from his wife, where he is actually talking to a reporter from the, I believe, the Washington Post, where he tells about how his book was suppressed and about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, and as he said, these crazy right-wingers, they keep telling me that symbol on the back of the dollar bill is the symbol of the Illuminati. Why, that symbol's been around for 5,000 years. He said, I can document that. And he's absolutely right. It has been around for 5,000 years. It is not a symbol of the Illuminati or the Masons, because they are both modern-day manifestations of the ancient mystery religions. And those of you who heard our program last week, where we had Larry calling from Florida, claiming to be a 33rd-degree Mason, part of the highest echelon of organized Masonry, talked about how Masonry has been around for 5,000 to 6,000 years, and that's right. The Masonic calendar begins with the day one, and today we live, according to them, in the year 2006, you see, because they honor what happened in the Garden of Eden. We honor the birth of Jesus Christ. We live in the year 2005. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Their Lord was there in the Garden of Eden. So you have to understand that these things are real. And the secret society Professor Quigley talked about had its origins in the occult, as do all of the organizations that dominate the world today. For more information for our four-tape set on the secret government or secret societies or the secret government special, call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 for Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, or the Tragedy and Hope special. Call the same number. And then, of course, you need to have my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get it by itself or with a video and the audio tape. And then, of course, we hope that you will copy the audio tape and copy the video and get that out across America. I got a email from a gentleman in Denmark today who had just watched the Brotherhood of Darkness video. And, of course, he's a Buddhist, and he wanted to point out that he didn't feel that Buddhism had anything to do with Luciferianism. And, of course, he wanted to carry on a discourse, and we, of course, would be corresponding with him. And I think the average Buddhist is a very kind and noble person, but then so are most Masons. They're good people. They just don't understand the origins of the organizations that they're really associated with, or the ancient mystery religions. Well, to understand what's going on today, I would suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the books we've talked about, the videos, Megiddo 1, which takes you from the ancient prophecies, both of Christians and non-Christians, right up through World War I and World War II, and now World War III we're involved in. Oh, we're involved in World War III. It's going to get a lot worse. Our boys are not going to come home. A few of them may come home, but the war will continue. In fact, there's a great deal to suggest that Syria will be next on the list as we clean the swamp over there, is the term that they use, cleaning the swamp. And then Megiddo 2 takes you through the occult organizations, and you'll see me talking about the Georgia Guidestones and Madame Blavatsky. And then they sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, you need to get that. You need to have your children and grandchildren see it to understand the demonic influence, which is very real in our society today and permeates every aspect of our life. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America.